welcome to the ParaUnity Podcast. Tonight we have with us Curtis Miller from Unseen Entities Paranormal, based out of Maquoketa, Iowa. But before we bring Curtis on, let's talk a little bit about Maquoketa. Nestled in the rolling farm fields of eastern Iowa sits a small farm town of Maquoketa. It was originally called Springfield, and under the latter was incorporated in 1838. The present name, chosen from the Maquoketa River, which runs through the town, was adopted in 1844. The river's name derives from the Maquoketa, which means Bear River in Meskwaki. The Davenport and St. Paul Railroad was extended to Maquoketa in 1870, stimulating growth and prompting Jackson County seat to be transferred from Andrew to Maquoketa in 1873. As of 2010, there were 6,141 people, 2,655 households, and 1,612 families residing in the city. Local attractions include the Maquoketa Cave State Park, the Hurstville Lime Kilns just north of town, the Clinton Engine Museum, the 61 Drive-In Theater, which is one of the few remaining outdoor theaters in the United States. The town also holds host to a historic district containing many great examples of Victorian architecture. Despite its size, the town also attracts many presidential candidates. In 2008, Democratic presidential candidate Barack Obama visited the town twice during his campaign, and again while president on August 16th of 2011. The Old City Hall Gallery displays the oil paintings of internationally known Maquoketa artist Rose Franson, whose exhibit Portrait of Maquoketa, an oil painting of 180 residents of the town, was once on display at the Smithsonian National Portrait Gallery in Washington, D.C. Like many small farm towns, Maquoketa has its share of haunted places. The Maquoketa Caves are said to be haunted by ghosts of many Native Americans that once resided in the area. Echoes of their voices ring through the caves, and the sounds of the drums have been reported. The Decker Hotel, built in 1875, is rumored to be haunted by a prankster ghost who plays with the lights and opens and closes the doors. Now, help me welcome to the ParaUnity Podcast, Curtis Miller, for a first-hand look at some great haunted locations and some insight into the science of paranormal investigations that's used in Maquoketa, Iowa. Curtis, how are you doing tonight?
Good.
Good, Curtis. I appreciate you joining us.
Not a problem.
So, what got you interested in the paranormal?
Actually, it was a real long time ago. We were actually, I was probably maybe about 10 or 11 years old. We were visiting my aunt and uncle, who lived out towards York, Pennsylvania. And as we were leaving, my parents decided to go visit Gettysburg. And I actually had one of my first incidents happen at Gettysburg, visiting the old Civil War battle sites and the fields and everything. I actually had something whispered into my ear, and it just kind of got me intrigued ever since. So that was actually one of my first and, you know, really got me going into it.
Sure, absolutely. So how long would you say you've been investigating?
I would say I've been investigating for, seriously getting into it, for about, maybe 11, 12 years now.
Okay. And is that, and now your group, the Unseen Entities Paranormal, it's technically a solo group, correct? It's you with your wife helping out a little bit?
Yes.
Okay. And then has that kind of always been your group for that whole time, or have you worked with other groups or anything?
That's basically been my group. I have teamed with other members, helping them out a little bit if they need an extra hand. A lot of them know they can go ahead and call me. I'll bring my own equipment. We'll go ahead and do an investigation together. Or if I go to like a giant location, I'll ask another group, hey, would you mind coming helping me out a little bit? And we'll just see what we can actually get. And it works out really good.
Yeah. Now, and you do businesses and you also do residential, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then, so you're based out of Maquoketa, Iowa, which I'm sure most people are not going to know where Maquoketa is. But
yeah, we're
it's the little farm town, kind of about halfway between Davenport and Dubuque, if you guys are familiar with that along the Mississippi. Can you tell us a little bit about the town? Is there any good like haunted locations right there?
Actually, yes, there's actually some very good haunted locations. Actually in Maquoketa, Iowa, since we're so close to the Mississippi River, and we actually have the Maquoketa River, which kind of bleeds off into the Mississippi. It's kind of a real small, sleepy town, about 5,000 people or so. But we actually do have a hotel in town that's actually on the National Registry. And every state, if you look, has a National Registry. It's haunted places or haunted locations, .org, in your state, which is the Decker House Hotel, which is very active. It recently got taken over within the past year or two by some new owners, which was gracious enough to allow us to come in and investigate for the entire night and that. So, and we did get some really good activity.
What kind of stuff did you guys get? Sliders.
One of the weirdest ones we got was we were downstairs in their barroom area. And we just happened, my wife was helping me out. She just turned on the SLS camera, and the owners were kind of interested in how a paranormal investigation takes place. So they're following us around in the basement. Wife turned on the SLS camera, and all of a sudden she captures a figure on the SLS camera standing in one of the bar booths in the far corner, which I thought was just totally amazing. But then the other thing was the history of the place. The downstairs area used to be a whole separate shop and a living quarters for the person that had that business. Well, I happened to go into where the person's living quarters used to be, trying to run a spirit box session, try to get some responses. And she had the REM pod in the barroom area along with the ovulus. And coming across on the ovulus, it was telling her exactly where I roughly was in that building. But I was getting nothing across on the spirit box. So we decided to reverse roles. And she was getting stuff coming across the spirit box. And the ovulus was actually being quiet, which was really weird.
Sounded like somebody had a crush.
Yeah.
That is pretty crazy. It's always neat how different entities that you come across will kind of attach themselves, not necessarily like physically attach, but like build that connection with the person. Yep, exactly. Yep. So what other places there besides the Decker House? I kind of interrupted you.
That's fine. Squire's Manor. Is another, it's a beautiful old bed and breakfast. And it's actually haunted by basically the entire family, the entire Squire's family, which is, there are no more Squires anymore. They're all buried actually in our local cemetery. We've had disembodied footsteps going up and down the steps. We captured stuff with the SLS camera. We actually captured a figure sitting on the sofa. One of the other strange ones, which my wife does a little bit of housekeeping for that manor, is which got me to get in there, was they had a giant 30-pound mirror come off of the wall, not do any damage to the back of the mirror. The wire did not break. No damage to the wall whatsoever. Came down and smashed onto a candy dish and broke the candy dish.
But the mirror was fine.
The mirror was perfectly fine.
Huh.
Which was just, it's unreal. And I mean, they've had these giant 20-plus pound chandeliers sway all by themselves, and there's no air movement in the building.
Ah, that's cool.
Yeah. And of course, we've captured orbs in there, which, you know, I understand for like new people, orbs can be kind of exciting. If you've done this a while, I know it's probably the most common. It's neat, but you know, I tend to look for, you know, I like to see the shadow people or the mist or the streaks of light or something like that. That's a little more unusual.
Yeah, orbs make it a little bit difficult because they could be so many different things between lights or bugs or dust or
dust.
Yeah, I mean we've caught a couple with my team where we were pretty sure they were just like dust orbs, but just some of the movements. I mean, after you kind of watch them for a while and you've been doing this for a while, you get a better idea of, you know, if you can catch them like moving through doorways or moving around in certain ways, it's usually a little bit more validating than just the little streak that shoots across the screen.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, we've captured one where we thought was a streak and we actually blew it up and you could actually see the wings of a small little insect. So
sure.
Yeah. And that's why I highly recommend a lot of people, you know, who actually do get into this is, you know, if you take a picture, please blow it up and really look at it close, you know, to find out exactly what it is.
Yep, exactly. So you're talking about some of the places there in Maquoketa. I know you get around Iowa quite a bit. And also a little side note is you're kind of the curator or tour guide for Edinburgh Manor up there in Scotch Grove, Iowa, which is what, about a half hour or so from you?
Yes, about a half an hour drive.
Okay. So do you want to tell us just kind of a little bit about Edinburgh for the people that may not be aware of it? I know it's gotten pretty popular since it was on Ghost Adventures.
Yes, it's actually been very popular since Ghost Adventures actually hit. Edinburgh was actually basically every county in the entire United States had what they called a poor farm. And this was actually a poor farm back in the 1850s. And back in 1910, the county decided to go ahead and tear down all the little houses on this property and build now what is Edinburgh Manor, which was finished construction in 1911. So the building has been standing ever since. Then later on, they decided to go ahead and turn it into a county home, which also went ahead and housed the mentally incurable, the poor, you know, the elderly, disabled, those type of people in there.
Sure.
And I mean, the mentally incurable, you know, you could have, which now we would consider, you know, like ADHD, depression, autism, that type of stuff. You could actually be put in a place like that.
Okay.
And we've investigated different poor farms, throughout the state and everything, which is, and they're all unique and different. So.
Okay. So, I mean, being a tour guide and a curator of that place, you have to spend a lot of time there.
Yeah. You actually get to know, some of the spirits and, a lot of them, every time I tell people, give tours, let them in for an overnight, I kind of tell them, you know, this is basically what you're getting into. I mean, you know, you're getting into a place where spirits that, you know, they may have been handicapped, you know, they may have a mental disorder or a mental disability. So it may take them a little time to, you know, get to where you're going, or you might be dealing with somebody who was could no longer afford to stay on their land, so you will be feeling a little bit of depression, maybe anger, or whatever the case may be. So I just tell them to keep that in mind, you know, when they go ahead and go on and investigate, and, you know, don't get aggressive with these guys. I mean, you know, they kind of had a rough and hard enough time the way it is.
Yep, absolutely. Because everything that they are feeling when they're alive, it's very well likely that they're still feeling it. Yep, exactly.
Yep.
So we talked a little bit about Edinburgh. We talked about some of the other places that you've done in Iowa, especially around Maquoketa there. I also know you've gone all over the nation. What would you say would be your favorite place that you've investigated?
Gettysburg.
Gettysburg? Is there any particular part of Gettysburg that you did?
I've done the Farnsworth House. I've done the Cashtown Inn. The battlefields themselves are just, it's beautifully and actually eerily amazing. Pickett's Charge, the fence line there, just to stand back and take a look at, you know, what these soldiers had to go through, you know, when they cleared off just only a small section of fence. And, you know, to see where the South actually had their cannon fire and just completely overshooting all the Union shoulders is just, it's amazing.
Well, I can imagine. And there's still a lot of buildings there that are still standing from that time period, too.
Yes. And, I mean, a lot of people, when they go there, they don't realize that, you know, they'll go ahead and they'll shop downtown. And a lot of the downtown buildings actually were used as makeshift hospitals or headquarters for the Union, actually. So even the college is extremely haunted. We've interviewed college people that they actually have a hard time staying in their dorms that are actually extremely active.
Yeah, I've heard that. You mentioned the Farnsworth House. That's probably my favorite haunted place for Gettysburg. I've heard a lot about it, and I've done a lot of research on it. And I love the connection, especially the owners and the people that take care of it now. The connection they have with the spirits that are in there in the house, just the history of that house too. Like you were saying, with the you know, taking care of the wounded and being a shelter for the different soldiers on both sides. And then, you know, you still have the bullet holes and the dents in the walls from the cannonballs hitting it. And it's really, really cool area.
And I mean, you guys should definitely check out the Cashtown Inn, which is, I recommended that to Broadway Paranormal, who went out there, maybe a couple months ago. And they were just, you know, thank you so much for letting us know about this place, because they had no clue about it. And I said, you guys have to check it out. You know, it's well worth it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So you get a chance to work with a lot of different teams. What's kind of your favorite piece of equipment to use, or like your go-to stuff that you always like to use on all your investigations?
Probably one of my favorites. I am starting to like the EDI meter quite a bit. I do like my K2 meter. And one of the other little things I actually do like, and I do run them quite a bit, is I do have some EM pumps, which definitely help out the spirits. You know, it's one of those that you set them up, you run them. You just have to walk away for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever. Then go around, turn them off. And, you know, it just helps them get more energy to help you communicate and get better evidence. So,
and then for those people that don't know what those are pumps that they enhance the electromagnetic
fields.
Yep. In the room. So that way it kind of charges everything up more.
Yep. It's kind of like a mini thunderstorm inside of a building, basically what it is. I mean, you don't see the electricity in Europe, but you can actually, if you hold it, you can actually feel the electricity that it's kind of putting out a little bit.
Okay.
It will vibrate that much and everything. So, of course, then you have your SB7 spirit boxes and SB11 spirit boxes, which are actually kind of neat too. So,
yeah,
which has a direct line of communication.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Anytime you can get that direct line, it's always great to have a chance to get that first-hand communication with them.
My wife, hers is the SLS camera. She loves that. I mean, that's kind of her baby that she likes to do.
I'm kind of the same way. I usually, on investigations, I have that in my hands at least at some point in the night. So, do you have any kind of tips or tricks that you think that might help some other teams that would be listening in that would kind of help them with getting better responses?
I would have to say probably the biggest thing is, go ahead and do the research that you're going to go to. Like if you're going to go to, let's say a poor farm, learn about the people, the conditions, that they had to go through, maybe do an interaction maybe, or if you're going to a hospital, simulate something that, happened in a hospital. Let's say somebody was on the operating table, not saying cut the person open, but just, simulate actions that would be in a hospital. That might help simulate some of the spirits, to get them going. And just generally being, nice and respectful to the spirits. I normally, when I go to an investigation, I don't ask them to do parlor tricks. I talk to them right away, tell them, this is why I'm here. I don't expect you to do parlor tricks for me. I don't want you to do parlor tricks for me. To me, it's kind of demeaning for them. If you want to move something or do something, please do it at your own free will. I would, appreciate it if you actually do it. I want to talk to you, learn about you, and learn about your story,
Yeah.
Is basically what I do.
Yep, absolutely. Be a chance for them to get their word out there, get their story out.
And a lot of things, I tell them that, other groups who are like, we're not getting a lot of communication and that. And I'm like, it's like you're meeting somebody for the first time. It may be a little awkward, but I mean, they could also be shy, where they, I really don't want to tell you a whole lot because I don't, know you. I don't trust you, that type of thing. So don't be discouraged by it. It takes time,
Yeah. I always kind of thought too, that it always kind of helped a little bit to, as you're kind of doing like your EVP sessions and stuff, when you're talking to them, kind of tell them some little things about yourself as well. Just like you're having a conversation with somebody you just met. That way they can, mm-hmm. It kind of breaks the ice a little bit and makes them feel a little bit more comfortable with yourself.
And, we helped out some other groups. We've actually gotten responses on EVPs is, we just set a recorder there or a K2 meter and just we'd have a conversation amongst ourselves. And we just, hey, if you want to join in, that's fine. Great. And we'd actually get responses.
Sure.
So, I mean, it makes them feel like they're part of the conversation or whatever it may be. So, I mean, that does help too.
Yes, it really does. Well, we talked a little bit about Unseen Entities Paranormal, your group. Mm-hmm. You do have a Facebook page for them, correct?
Yes. It's Unseen Entities Paranormal on Facebook. Actually, the picture on our page, the show, one of the other little locations that we've been to is there's an old farmhouse that we did. It's also an old schoolhouse. There's also a picture from an SLS camera shot at actually Edinburgh Manor downstairs, which is actually kind of pretty cool. And we usually write up a little report on some of the stuff that we are allowed to report to the public on there. That's some of the other frustrating things that we'll go and investigate. And we'll ask them, can we publish some pictures, publish a report of what we found? And some of them don't want because of, they don't want the notoriety that, hey, my private residence might be haunted or, this building, which I do have a business in, I don't want known that it's an actual haunted location.
Yeah, because they're scared it'll hurt their business or, they'll yep. have people come into their door trying to just do the stuff when they just kind of want to do their own thing.
Yep.
Yep. Totally understand that. And then you mm-hmm. also, you have an investigation tonight, correct? Down in Rock yes. Island, Illinois?
Yes. The old Rock Island YMCA.
Okay. And then you're doing that with the group Unknown Darkness out of Cedar Rapids.
Yes. they were actually a while back, if you watch the Edinburgh Manor episode on Ghost Adventures, a couple of their team members were actually on that episode. So they're a very good paranormal group. I believe one of their members is going to the Omaha Paracon, and she's an author of two books, now working also on her third book about the paranormal. So
I'll have to reach out to them, see if they want to do the show.
Yeah, they're very good. They're good. Very good.
Well, with the YMCA down there, the old YMCA building, what's some of the reports that you guys have been getting about it?
A lot of it is mostly kind of like children. One of the more disturbing reports that I did read was there was a homicide actually there. And reading the reports, basically reading about some of the injuries that this child actually endured. And I also work and have a friend who's part of the Iowa City Police Force, is a detective. I showed him that, and he kind of thinks it may have been a gang-style beating that this child endured, and he actually passed away from his injuries because of it, and he still lingers around there. So things have been thrown in there. You know, shadow figures have been seen in there. I know they've gotten communication through a spirit box and also through a K2 meter and actually a Mel meter. So
okay,
we're actually kind of excited about it.
Yeah, sounds like you guys should have a pretty interesting evening, hopefully.
Yep. It's actually a very big building. It's 4 stories high. I mean, it's huge.
Oh, yeah. That'll take some time then.
Yeah.
Now, are you guys, I know what a lot of people do with kids when they think that they have the spirit of a kid there. They'll do, like, they'll bring a toy along or a ball along for it to play with.
Yes.
Or even a balloon, actually, I guess.
Yes, I would highly recommend the balloon, because a balloon can actually give off, you know, if you rub it along the floor, it can actually give off the static electricity. One of the other objects that we're going to bring along is actually a Boo Bear, which is basically a teddy bear that has basically a, you know, kind of like a little bit of a K2 meter and a REM pod into it. That children can actually come up to, they can touch it, it will light up and everything, so it gives you an indication that, yes, a spirit actually is near and close there. So hopefully we get some interaction with there. One of the other things, since it is actually so big, one of my other tools I'm going to bring is my sonic ear, which a lot of them, you know, you can get kind of any electronics store. It basically magnifies all the sounds within like 500 yards away.
Sure.
And it actually does work. I've actually used it my very first time actually at Edinburgh Manor. I was all alone by myself in there, and I actually captured two people talking clear at the other end of the building, which if I wouldn't have that piece of equipment, I would have never have heard it.
Oh, yeah, so absolutely.
It's very, very cool.
Well, hopefully they weren't telling you to get out.
believe it or not, I have actually been told that several different times.
That wouldn't surprise me. We had that happen about a month ago at one of our investigations, and we were doing a EVP set or a spirit box session. We were doing that new that Estes Park method. Mm-hmm. And the stuff that was come across, the spirit that we were talking to was answering our questions and then decided that he was done and was telling us that, we're done, you can leave, goodbye. And it's like, oh, okay. Yep. So, well, Curtis, I really appreciate you taking the time today to get a chance to talk to us, especially since I know you got to get everything ready for that investigation tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Once again, it was Curtis Miller with Unseen Entities Paranormal, and good luck with your investigation tonight, Curtis, and have a good day.
All right, thank you.
Yep, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks again to Curtis Miller with Unseen Entities Paranormal for being our guest today, and thanks to all of you for tuning in. Please take a minute to give us a review on iTunes or whatever directory you listen to us on. It means a lot to us, and we want to hear your feedback to make our show a little better. My name is Brandon, and you've been listening to the best place to bring our paranormal teams a little closer together, the ParaUnity Podcast.